Recording has started.
Okay. So I'm going to go to the slides. If everyone can make sure that you can see the slides on your screen or are following along with the paper version or an electronic version in front of you. Again, my name is Jessie Saul from NAC. I want to take just a minute before we jump into the slides to introduce Christy Taylor from Westat, who's been coordinating the survey development and programming this year. She's been doing a really outstanding job, and we're very, very grateful to have her lead this process from that end. She'll be presenting the technical sections of today's webinar, as well as taking us through a brief demonstration of the survey data entry system. If you're not joining us by your computer, don't worry. The live demonstration won't take long, and if you want to view it later, you can always view the webinar recording on our website. I also want to take just a minute to introduce Rayanne Davis, who is NAC's newest staff member. Rayanne has been involved with Quitlines for a very long time and helped start the Kentucky Quitline. She has recently started with NAC as our research assistant, and we as a staff, and me in particular, couldn't be more thrilled to have her on board. She'll be providing a lot of the technical assistance for those of you taking the survey, and we'll be connecting follow-up with any Quitlines that don't complete their surveys by November 19th. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the presentation. Just a really brief note, both the PowerPoint presentation and the survey instructions, the instructions were updated on Monday, and the PowerPoint presentation with the launch date and the closing date were updated as of this morning. So if you printed out copies, just note that a couple of elements have changed as of Monday and as of today for the PowerPoint presentation. So you may want to get revised versions from our website if you haven't done so already. All right, so we will go ahead then and start the presentation. We've done welcome and introductions already. For training objectives, by the end of the training, you will all understand the major topics covered by the 2010 annual survey, understand any major changes from the 2009 survey, be able to log in and navigate and use the web data collection system. You'll be able to know where to get help. And for the survey, I don't know that I can help with any other help assistance other than that for today anyway. But you can always call and we can chat. And you'll be able to teach others in your organization all of the above as needed, and you'll understand how we are going to use the survey data, which I think is always important to understand. I do want to say just a brief note about NAC and CDC data collection. We're very aware that all of the Quitlines with contracts or collaborative or cooperative agreements with CDC and receiving ARRA funding, stimulus funding for Quitlines, are in the middle of a CDC data collection period that will be through October 31st, and they're asking for very similar information for the period July to September of 2010, or quarter three of 2010. We are asking for information for your fiscal year 2010, which is July 2009 through June of 2010 for most U.S. Quitlines. Obviously, Canadian Quitlines are not affected by CDC data reporting requirements. We are doing our best to stagger deadlines, and actually I've got some information that will reduce the overlap of timing even further. We'll talk about that a little later in the presentation. I also want to point out that we're very aware that and we've worked closely with CDC to make sure that the questions they're asking are very similar, if not identical, to a lot of the annual survey questions. The plan is to work very closely with them to avoid any duplication of data collection for the fiscal year 2011 survey. The information that's being collected does not overlap a whole lot, and they did very preliminary data collection for the first two quarters of this year, of 2010. So we are fielding a complete survey this year, but we will be working to the greatest extent possible to limit the number of questions we are asking and getting information from CDC for next year's survey so that we're reducing the burden on Quitlines rather than increasing it. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about the potential to data collection modes or any comments you want to make? I'll just open it up for questions and comments at this point. OK. Okay. And if anyone has any comments that you want to make offline, please do feel free to email me and just let us know how you're perceiving everything as we move forward. Quick note on the background. Most of you are aware we conduct an annual survey annually, with the exception of 2007 when we did an assessment of the implementation of the minimal data set. Our partner, research partner this year is Westat, and again, we're very pleased to have them on board. The 2010 annual survey sections, we'll go through each of these in turn. We have an introduction section which has to be completed first. We'll talk a little bit about that. Some general information, financing, materials, counseling, utilization, evaluation, promotions, and any comments you want to make. So these are not new sections, but we will go through any changes from 2009 as we go through each section. As I said, the introduction section is the only required section. There are only three questions. It asks about your contact information, Quitline access information, the phone numbers and websites, and your fiscal year 2010 dates. And this question in particular is very important because each of the other sections have the fiscal year included in the header for that section. So we need to confirm what the fiscal year 2010 start and end dates are before you can take any of the rest of the sections. So the fiscal year question must be complete, and the section, this introduction section, has to be marked complete. Note that only the key authorized responder, the person who has the authority to actually submit the survey, can complete any of the sections. So if you are a key contact for the annual survey, and you should know who you are, if you don't have an idea, please let me know, and I'll make sure that you know who that person is for your Quitline. But that one person for each Quitline needs to go in and complete this section first. Otherwise, nobody else can access any of the other sections of the survey. The general information section, again, this should look very familiar. Days and hours of service, holiday closures, the services that are provided, including other cessation services. We do have a new section on fax referrals. There, we ask about translation services and languages and who your service provider is. One clarification that was made is that the referrals to other services is now two questions. We asked specifically about what referrals does your Quitline make out to other cessation services, and then what referrals do you make to other types of services. And there are some new questions about holiday closures and counseling offered to the deaf and hard of hearing community and technologies for doing that. As I said, there's a new subsection on fax or electronic referrals. There's been a huge expansion among Quitlines for fax referral mechanisms since 2005. Nearly all Quitlines have some kind of fax referral system, but very little is known about how they work, the variability between Quitlines, and some of the differences that we can see in terms of how they're working. And so we're trying to capture a little bit more of that information here. Financing section, again, who's the contract organization, media and promotions contact, budget information, which is very similar to every other survey we've done, the types of funders supporting the Quitline for both fiscal year 10 and 11. That's really one of the very, very few questions that asks anything about fiscal year 11, so do pay attention to that. And then looking at the impact of budget changes over the course of fiscal year 10. Biggest changes here, that some of the questions have been combined into tables to make them easier to answer. As you recall from the 2009 survey, we actually fielded that in two different waves. The first one was pencil and paper or an electronic Word version, and the second one was a web-based version similar to this one. So we're taking just a few of the questions from that paper version and incorporating them back into the web-based version. But we've tried to make them much easier to answer, and putting them in this format should help. We're also asking about CDC and stimulus funding as a source of funding, so that's called out separately. We're asking about materials. both the languages of the cessation materials and the populations that are provided with specialized materials. In terms of the counseling section, we're asking about any specialized counseling protocols, specialized counselor training, counseling eligibility criteria, the levels of service that are provided, and any medications that are provided. We do ask a new question in the counseling section that looks specifically at counselor training for special populations. When we were working with the survey work group to revise the 2010 survey, several work group members noted that when we asked in previous years about tailored or specialized protocols for given populations, that might imply endorsements or, you know, recommendations that Quitline should be using specialized protocols. And while this might make sense for some populations, for example, pregnant women, you might want to have different numbers of calls around different topics or more calls or try to get pregnant women involved after the baby's born. It just may not make as much sense for other types of special populations, since for most populations, most individuals, tailoring at the individual level has been shown to be a much more effective strategy. But in order to effectively tailor counseling for multiple needs, it's important to train counselors appropriately to be aware of what some of the many issues facing some of the populations might be. So we are asking about the training that counselors get to address the needs of lots of different types of populations. For the utilization section, as you'll remember from 2009, this is one of the longer sections, and I would recommend not waiting until the last minute to start this one. The types of information, again, similar kinds of things that we've asked for in the past, caller information, number of smokers, referral sources, demographics of callers, et cetera, et cetera. We do have a few new questions. We're asking about for the calls that, or the referrals that came in through fax referrals or other types of referral mechanisms, what actually happened to those referrals, how many of them were actually reached. We're also asking about average number of minutes of counseling and average number of counseling calls, since those are questions that we get a lot of, saying, you know, where are those averages? What's sort of typical? And we're also, one of the bigger changes for utilization is that we are, last year we asked about minimal data set questions. Please provide aggregate information for specific minimal data set questions. We're asking those same questions, but in 2009 we asked about anyone who called for themselves. And for 2010 we're asking you to report on the population that actually received some type of evidence-based services, so counseling or medications. So just be aware of that difference when you're looking at that section. For evaluation, we're looking at very similar questions to 2009, whether you conducted evaluations, who conducted them, what the sampling strategy was. We're also asking about quit rates, so 30-day point prevalence quit rates, and then all of the different pieces of contextual information that we've identified in the quit rates issue paper as being really important to be able to appropriately interpret what the quit rate is. And so we are asking for all of those pieces of information. Again, we are asking about quit rates and those contextual factors for interpreting quit rates. We'll talk more about quit rates and how we're going to plan on using the information from the survey towards the end of the presentation. The promotion section looks at paid media and outreach activities. We're also, again, this is one of the few questions that asks about fiscal year 11. What are you planning on doing or currently doing for media and outreach, and then any promotions or outreach to priority populations? We also we added some new categories for social media and ways that Quitlines can use social media to promote their services. There will be comments that are available for you to make throughout the survey. You can enter comments about specific questions as you complete the survey. The comments can be assessed from any section and will not take you away from the current section of the survey. All of the comments that you enter will have your initials by them, and you'll be able to see the list of comments from everybody else who's a respondent from your quitline. So you can use those comments to track notes to each other about, you know, so-and-so needs to complete these questions, or you can use it to provide comments to NAC about various questions in the survey, whether things weren't clear or whether you want to provide clarifying information about any of the answers that you provided. And with that, we're going to look at accessing and navigating the survey. Quick opportunity to answer some clarifying questions about anything that I've presented so far about all the different sections of the survey. Any questions? All right. Well, then I will turn it over to Christy, who is going to take us through accessing and navigating the survey.
Thank you, Jesse. I'm just first going to highlight a couple of things about the survey that are going to be important as you go through it, and then I'll demonstrate the survey for you and show you how the different kinds of questions work. This is what the survey looks like. It's very similar in the look and feel to the 2009 survey. The web address for the survey will be sent to you in the email that you'll get from NAC with your password. To log in, you will need to enter your email address and the password that NAC will send you in the form. This will be the email address that NAC will send your password to. The password is case sensitive. You will have only one login per person. If you are providing data for more than one quitline, you'll be able to select which quitline you want to access each time you log in. I want to say a brief word about what a lockout is. Most quitlines have more than one person providing data, but only one person at a time can be logged into the quitline survey. If you try to log in and someone else is already logged in, you will get a message that shows the name and email address of the person who is logged in. You will be logged out. You should probably try to contact that person and coordinate with them. If the person who has the survey logged out cannot log out, for example, if they've gone home for the weekend or left for vacation, or perhaps their computer has lost power, then the person who is the primary contact for the quitline can break the lockout. When that person logs in, they will see the warning message telling them that someone else is logged into the survey, and they will also get an instruction that looks like the slide you're looking at right now to check a small box. You see the small box right under the password field. Checking that box will override the lock. If you do this, if you choose to override a lockout, you should immediately log out of the system. If you start entering data after breaking a lock, the data could become unstable. This is a very small risk, but it's a real possibility. So just to be safe, please immediately log out whenever you break a lock, and then you or any other user can log back in and work on the survey. If you cannot break this lock, you can contact annualsurvey@naquitline.org for assistance. You can go ahead, Jesse. Thank you. After you log in, you will see this menu on the left-hand side of the survey. This menu lists each section of the survey and its status, either in progress or complete. At the top, you will see the dates of fiscal year 2010 for your state. This is based on your answer to question G3. As Jesse mentioned, you're now required to answer the introduction section and answer question G3 before you can continue with any other part of the survey. Once you have completed the introduction section, you can complete the other sections in any order. Saving your data is a two-step process. And I'm going to pause for just a moment. There, my slides loaded. My slides are a bit slow. I hope everyone else is seeing them. Saving your data is a two-step process. First, you need to check for any blanks that you may have missed or any problems in your answers. You do this by clicking the bottom button, which is labeled Check for Outstanding Issues. You can see that now.
Christy, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. Is there any way you can get a little bit closer to the microphone?
Sure. I'm sorry. Is this better?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. I apologize. Do I need to go back and repeat anything?
I don't think so. There was just a question that was posted saying it was a little bit hard to hear you. If anyone missed anything, please do speak up, and Christy will go back and repeat something.
I'll also be happy to answer any questions, too. I apologize for getting a little far away.
Not a problem.
Okay, so as I was saying, saving is a two-step process. The first step is to check for any outstanding issues, any blanks, or any errors that might be in your data or questions that might be about your data. To do that, you would check this button, Check for Outstanding Issues, and any issues that are found will be highlighted in yellow. You can then either review those or you can save by marking the section in progress or complete. And you can see these are the buttons that you'll see after you click the highlight, check for outstanding issues. And I'll demonstrate this to you in a moment. It's important, though, that you click one of these two buttons, save and mark in progress or save and mark complete. If you don't check one of those two buttons, your data will not be saved. The difference between the two buttons is save and mark in process means that you are still working on this section and will return later to finish it. This option is available to all respondents. As I mentioned, if you don't click one of these buttons, you might lose your data, so we strongly recommend that you do this even if you're going to review your highlighted issues. So this will make sure that your data is saved. The Save and Mark Complete button is only available to the one person for each quit line who has authorization to submit completed survey data. And you should choose this option if the section is finished and all the questions have been answered. When the key respondent, when the person authorized to submit completed data, has marked the section as complete, he or she will receive an email on the next business day confirming that the survey is complete. What if you forget to save? If you forget to save and try to go to another section, you will get this warning message. You can then either select OK, which will take you to the other section of the survey you were trying to go to, and your data will be lost. Or you can select Cancel, which will leave you on the page you are on. If you select Cancel, you will still have to save your data through the two-step process I just described. Cancel doesn't save it for you. If you want to print a summary of your survey, you can click on Print This Survey section at the top of the page. That is circled in red on this slide. And clicking that will generate a PDF of the survey section with your answers. You can print or save that summary just like any other PDF. Now I'm going to demonstrate the system for you. To do that, I'm going to share my desktop with you. I'm switching to a sharing application, and so you're going to be able to see what's on my computer. Once I start this, you may receive a prompt to download an ActiveX tool. If this happens, please follow the directions on your computer. And we're going to pause just a minute or two to allow everyone who's prompted for the download to catch up. When you've installed the tool or when the slides have been shared with you, when my desktop's been shared with you, you should be able to see Internet Explorer on your screen with the NAC survey loaded and the login page showing.
So we're just going to wait a brief minute. Anyone who can't see this copy, see a yellow header or banner on your control window that says you need to install an ActiveX control. That should be in yellow. Okay.
I've completely lost my slides for some reason.
Yes, the slides went away.
So what should be on the screen now?
There should be a desktop viewer that shows the login screen to the survey. Do you have your control window up on your screen with all the list of names?
Yeah, that's what
I
have.
Okay, right above the list of names, do you see anything that says that Christy's trying to share her desktop with you?
No.
Okay, right at the very top of that control window, do you see any yellow bar that says something about an ActiveX control?
Yes, I right-clicked on that and allowed it.
Okay.
Something.
It may take just a minute or two to actually show something up.
Okay, thank you.
And you may need to, there may be more than one ActiveX control you need to install.
If you already have ActiveX, will it not provide that? Because I'm not getting it either.
That is a good question. Did you install the ActiveX control?
Well, I keep clicking on if you chose not to install the control when prompted and the pop-up's not appearing, you can try again, click here, and I keep clicking here, and it runs like it's thinking, and then nothing happens. So I'm wondering if maybe I just already have it.
You may, but if you're not seeing the shared desktop, you may not be able to, given some firewalls on your system. So if for any reason you can't see the demonstration, we're recording the presentation. You can go back in and view the presentation later. But you can also call any of us, and we'll walk you through the same kind of presentation and live demonstration with you doing it on your computer. So if you can't see it at this point, and you've clicked on the ActiveX controls as you have tried to, or as they've shown up, then my guess is that we're not going to be able to show you the live demonstration. So if you'll just bear with us and get through the next few minutes, we'll get back to the slides and continue the presentation. We don't have a good technical fix, unfortunately, for firewall blocks. Okay. So Christy, why don't you go ahead and run us through the demonstration for those of you who can see it. And we'll get back to the slides in just a minute for those of you who can't.
Okay, thank you, Jesse. So the first thing that I want to show you is logging in the usual way. To do that, you'll enter your email address and your password. And the password is case sensitive, so make sure to enter it exactly the way it's sent to you. Oh, dear. This is where I get to show you what a good typist I am. There, I entered the wrong username before. So if you have access to more than one quit line, you will have to pick the quit line that you want to provide answers for at this point. I have two quit lines. They're fake quit lines that I'm using for this demonstration, and they're named X0 and X1. You would see a real quit line, a real state or province name, like Arizona or British Columbia or Maryland. So I'm going to go ahead and pick X1 and select login. When you first log into the page, you'll see the instructions page here. This is the same instructions page that is on the NAC website. You may want to print it to have for your later reference.
And the survey instructions are also available on the NAC survey page, so you can always print a copy of it from there as well.
So before I go on to show you any other features of the website, I'm going to show you what it would look like if someone else were already logged in. So right now I'm going to log out using this link in the upper right, and I'll log in again. And that time I got it right on the first try. So this time I'm going to log into X0. And I get the warning message that someone else is logged in. One of my colleagues logged into this before the training began. So normally what I would do would be to check with this person who here is called Training User 4, but what you would see is their real name. I would check with this person to see if they're really working in the system and coordinate with them to see if I could enter the system later. If they are not really working, if they've gone on vacation or their computer's frozen or they lost power, then the person who's authorized to complete the survey for the quit line can override the lockout. And I'll do that right now by checking this box and re-entering my password. So notice that you have to enter your password twice to break a lockout. And once again, I will pick X0. So normally, like I said, you should immediately log out when you break a lockout. And you would log out using this link in the upper right corner. In the interest of time, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to push forward with the demonstration. But please remember to log out if you ever have to do this. As I said, when you log in, you will first see the instructions page. The first section that you have to complete is the introduction section. You'll notice here on my screen that for fiscal year 2010, at the top, there's an NA. That's because that information is going to be filled in from the introduction section. We anticipate that the key authorized user will go in and answer this section immediately. There's only three questions, so it's very quick. It's simply the contact information, the access information for the quit line, and then the quit line start and end date of the most recently completed fiscal year. Some of the questions in the survey are already filled in from data from 2009. We did this for questions that we thought were unlikely to change. And you can see as I've scrolled through this that questions G1, G2, and G3 are all like this. So question G3, the fiscal year question, is filled in with what we think your state or province's fiscal year is likely to be based on your answers to last year's survey. So you might have to change this, you might not. In this case, I'm not going to. Since I'm done with this section, I'm going to go ahead and click Check for Outstanding Issues. This is the first of the two steps for saving. And you can see it's telling me there's some issues I have to deal with. I may have left one or more fields unanswered. And it's giving me this message to check the start and end dates for fiscal year 2010, and there's a handy link here that'll hop me back down to it. We're just asking you to confirm that these are correct before you move on. So you would check those boxes and check for outstanding issues again. Now that I've checked those boxes, I'm not getting those additional options here. So then the second step in the two-step process to save is to select either Save and Mark in Progress or Save and Mark Complete. Because this is the introduction section and has to be complete before the other sections can be done, I'll select Save and Mark Complete. And I just want to remind you right here that the Save and Mark Complete option is only available to the authorized user who's authorized to complete, to submit the data for the quit line. So now that I've clicked Save and Mark Complete, all of these other menu options over here have become active. That means that any user can now complete any section. And as I said, these can be done in any order. I'm going to go to the promotion section. I want to point out to you that there are four types of responses that you'll have to provide as you go through the survey. The first type are these checkboxes. And when you see a checkbox, it means that you can select as many answers as apply. So in this case, the question is, what statewide or province-wide paid media promotions and outreach activities did you do in fiscal year 2010? You'll notice that the fiscal year dates are up here for my reference now that I've gone past the introduction section. And you'll always see this this instruction to select all apply when you have that option. So in this case, I'll select a few items. I want to point out that whenever you have an other option, as you do right here under social media, you'll also have a box that will open up so that you can provide more detail. So I've selected other here under social media, and it's asking me to describe the other social media that I use. Perhaps my quit line used Delicious for social bookmarking and Tumblr for microblogging, so I'll go ahead and enter those there. I'm going to skip P2 for now and scroll down here to P3. Some questions in the survey have skip patterns. They activate skip patterns. For example, if you answer yes to question P3, the sub-question here opens up. So if I conducted promotions or outreach to priority or special populations, I get the sub-questions that ask me which populations. After you've answered all the questions, you need to save your data through the two-step process. The first step is to check for outstanding issues, and then the second step is to select either save and mark in progress or save and mark complete. You can see that in this box, it's telling me that I may have left one or more fields unanswered. And if I scroll down, remember I skipped question two, so that's highlighted in yellow for me. I strongly recommend that before you deal with any of the highlighted issues, you select the save and mark in progress option. That writes your data to the database. It saves it. If something were to happen while you were dealing with the highlights, your other answers would be lost. So please make sure to always select save. You'll notice that when I selected save and mark in progress, the message at the top went away, and also the yellow highlight went away. To get the yellow highlights back, all you have to do is select check for outstanding issues again, and the yellow highlight is there again. So you can choose whether to have the yellow highlight on or off.
And just a quick note about the save and mark in progress or the save and mark complete. If you are the key respondent for your quit line and have that mark complete box or option available to you, if you mark a section complete, you cannot mark it in progress again after that. So please only check mark complete if you know that that section is all done. If you need to change that status, you'll need to contact us, and we'll have to do it manually for you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Sure.
So I have a few more examples I want to show you. I'm going to skip over to section G. Remember I said you can answer the questions in any order, or the sections in any order. So section G is for general information, and I'm going to scroll down to question G22. You can also answer the questions in any order within a section. So this question G22 shows you another of the major question types that you'll see, there's a pull-down menu here for me to select my answer from. In this case, it's asking what organization is the primary service provider. You can also select other if one of these options does not apply to you, and you will again get a text box where you can type in the other service or the service provider. I'm going to go back up here to question G21. I want to show you one other thing. This is an example of a question where when I answer it, I get a sub-question. In this case, it's asking, did my quitline use counselors who provided services in languages other than English? And the follow-up question is asking, which languages? If I select one of these languages, I also have to enter the hours per week that counseling was available in those languages. And if I enter more hours than there are in a week, I get a warning message telling me the field cannot be zero, cannot be more than 168, which is the number of hours in a week, and it can only be a whole number. So if I tried to enter something with a decimal point in it, that also would not work. You also need to enter, I'll put in an accurate answer here, you also need to enter the number of calls. And if I try to put in a number that is outside the normal range, I did a keyboard shortcut there and activated something I shouldn't have. I apologize for that. I'm just going to say save and mark in progress to get this out of the way. And I'll go back to question G21. So as you're answering the questions, you will get these error messages that will pop up. They should disappear when you answer correctly or when you change the issue. If for some reason you think this is the right answer, in spite of the warning message, you can go ahead and save your data that way, and if we have any questions about it, we will follow up with you after the survey. So I'm going to do the two-step process here again, check for outstanding issues, and then also save and mark in progress. And the last thing I want to show you is the print survey section, which is going to generate a PDF file. It tells me the name of the survey, the name of the section. In this case, it's for the general information section. Down at the bottom, it will have the name of my quit line. In this case, I was using this fake state called XO. If the section was marked complete, it would have the completion date. And it also has the date that I generated this PDF. The nice thing about the PDF that you'll see as you go through it is that it has every question in the section, not just the ones you answered, but all of them. And if I skip down here to question G21 and G22, you'll see that the answers that I entered are actually in this PDF. So you'll have those for your reference. If you are the user who's authorized to complete the survey, we strongly recommend that you generate these PDFs when you complete the when you mark the sections as complete, and either print them or save them for your later reference. If we have questions and follow up with you, it'll be handy to have those. This PDF opens in a separate window. I'm just going to go ahead and close it. And I'm done entering data for now, so I'm going to go ahead and log out. It's really important that you log out normally so that you don't cause a lockout for any other people who may be trying to enter data for the same quit line.
Christy, quick question. If you just close your browser window without logging out, will that cause a lockout for someone else?
Yes, it will.
Okay, because you'll still be logged into the survey system.
Right, so you need to actually log out.
Okay, great.
If you do accidentally close the browser window and you go back, the same session will be open. So you it's handy for that situation. You won't have to log in again.
Okay.
Are there any questions about the system or anything that I've shown?
All right. Any other questions? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and start up the slides one more time. We just have a few more left. And everyone should be able to see the slides as they're on the screen at this point. Starting November 22nd, which is a Monday, we will start reviewing data for the quitlines that have completed all of their sections. There is no submit your survey button, but simply marking all of the sections complete indicates to us that the survey is complete. And again, on the next business day, you will get an email confirming that your survey is complete. We will be following up with you if there are any questions about data that you've entered. So either Westat or NAC will be in touch with you about any questions over the next few weeks beyond the 22nd. In order to get help, there are the survey instructions on the survey status page, as we showed you at the very beginning of the presentation. Those are also available on the 2010 survey page, and that link is here. All of the information that NAC has about the survey will be available on the 2010 survey page, and that's the address to go to for that. As you're going through the survey and have questions, and I'm sure there will be questions, the email address to get help is annualsurvey@naquitline.org. You can also call Rayanne or myself in our direct lines, and extensions are there on the screen. And that really is the end of the section on the presentation and information about the survey itself. I'm going to skip. There was one question about whether people needed to have the ActiveX control installed on their computer in order to access the survey. The answer is no. That was only a requirement to be able to view the live demonstration today. So as long as you have access to an internet browser, you should be able to access the survey without installing an ActiveX control. Christy, if I'm misstating that, please let me know.
No, that's correct, Jesse.
Okay, great. Do one last check here. I'm going to go through the timeline quickly, and then we will go through questions on the survey itself. So we have the training webinars this week. We will launch the survey on October 25th. That's next Monday. We had originally planned on launching the survey this week, in order to give folks as much time before the holidays as possible to complete the survey. We are just doing some last checks on the actual database itself to make sure that data are saving correctly. And our goal for that is to make sure that before we launch, before we actually ask you to go in and start saving data and entering data, that it's actually working properly. And so in order to guarantee that, we're going to launch on Monday the 25th. We have adjusted the close date of the survey accordingly. You'll have 4 full weeks to complete the survey. The survey will close November 19th, which is the Friday before Thanksgiving week in the U.S. We'll be doing data cleaning and follow-up between November 22nd, the following Monday, and the end of January. We'll release our regular benchmarking data in the spring of 2011, and we'll release the full set of results in June as we did this year. We will also update people's profiles at that point, the Quitline profiles. I'm going to pause and just let people ask questions about anything that you've seen so far, the demonstration, logging in, logging out, submitting data, any questions about what you've seen so far. Okay. I'm going to go through how this survey data will be used very briefly. We will present a summary report, sort of a highlights report to all NEC members in the spring, similar to what we did with the 2009 data. And we will also post a full set of findings on the NAC website. Those are currently available for 2009 on the 2009 survey page, if you are interested in looking at that. There will also be selected variables in table format. So, again, very similar to what we did for 2009, you can go on that page and look at a bunch of different tables with things like hours of operation and quit line service provider and web-based services that are provided and medications that are provided. So in table format, you can easily see for all quit lines what's being provided currently or as of the 2009 survey. We'll be producing several publications and reports using aggregate data without identifying any specific quit lines. We'll be doing our regular benchmarking work where each quit line knows its own numbers in terms of reach, spending, and quit rates and sees how they compare to all other quit lines, but they won't know who any of the other quit lines are. And there will also be, we'll use that information to populate the quit line profile metrics section. Each quit line has a profile on our website. This next slide shows the metrics section of that profile. And I just want to point out that quit lines can opt out of reporting any of these metrics simply by contacting NAC. But we do, I think, only one quit line, maybe two quit lines, decided to not have their information from 2009 posted on their quit line metrics site. But we do encourage you to give us a call and let us know if that's not a good idea for any reason. The context, there's a little line down at the very bottom of this section that says context for quit line metrics. And that's one of the things we've heard very clearly and are very, very cognizant of, that quit lines are very different and serve different populations and have different services. And so these metrics may look different for lots of reasons. And this is the place, the context section is the place where quit lines can enter any of those contextual factors that really need to be considered when you're looking at those metrics in order to appropriately interpret what they mean. So that's something that each quit line has the option to go in and fill out themselves. And that's it. That's all we have for you for the demonstration and the survey information. I'll throw it open one last time for questions and answers and any discussion. And it doesn't look like we have any questions in the Q&A queue. So,
Jesse, I have one quick question. It's Paula. For the context of the metrics,
yep.
Would you be able to provide perhaps a list of criteria that may factor into that context for quit lines?
Yep. Yes, absolutely. There's a list of things. If you go, and we'll include this in the questions and answers document that will be posted weekly for the survey, but there's an implementation guide for reporting your quit rates that's posted on our website, and I'll include the link in the Q&A document. That has a checklist of all of the different contextual factors that you may want to consider reporting with your quit rate information. So that's a really handy checklist of the different types of things that may impact what your quit rate actually is, or how you're calculating that. The other issues, really, some of them are included in the profiles already in terms of your hours of operation and whether you provide medications or not. So some of that is already included, but you may also want to think about things like your budget was slashed halfway through your year, and so your reach numbers are artificially low because you didn't have any money for promotions or whatever kinds of things you need to provide in order to give the appropriate context for understanding what those metrics mean.
I guess my thoughts, you know, off the bat are that it can get it may have the possibility to get somewhat unruly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not, but I guess I was wondering if, you know, you all can come up with some suggestions, if you will, or categories that would be filled in there, maybe, you know, five or six of them or something, and then the people filling in the survey would have an option to kind of fill in those categories or not, and then another space to basically, you know, freely write these other things. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm only saying this because looking at all these different contexts for Quitline metrics, you know, your eyes begin to cross. you know what I'm saying? So if there was some consistency in how they're presented, it may be helpful and more useful for the reader in the long run and more helpful for people who, you know, want to fill something in, who maybe don't have a lot of broad-based experience on what would make sense to put in that category. So this is just a suggestion.
It's a great suggestion, and just to note that we just relaunched our Quitline profile, so you look a little bit different now. If you haven't gone online and seen your own Quitline's profile, I strongly suggest that you do that. Each Quitline also has a username and password to change any of the information. So if your hours change or your numbers change, your access numbers change, you can go in and update that information in real time, so you don't have to wait for our quarterly update process anymore. So hopefully what's on your Quitline profile is the most up-to-date information. As we go through, I really do want to hear feedback exactly like that that says, okay, that's fine. That's really nice that you put this box for context. I don't have any idea what that means, so I need some more guidance. So that we will certainly keep that in mind and work to, as we evolve this profiles page, incorporate feedback like that. So thanks for that. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Last call. We do have quite a bit of time left on the scheduled time for the webinar. I don't want to hold people longer than they want to be. If anyone has any other questions about the survey, about taking it, again, annualsurvey@anyquitline.org is the best email address to use. My information is on the last slide of the presentation, and all of the information for the 2010 survey is available on the 2010 survey page, and that is on the help slide earlier in the presentation. So last call for questions. Otherwise, we will go ahead and end the call. Going once, going twice. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks again for your participation, and we look forward to working with you on the survey. Take care.